something I want to talk about today.
Yes,
I want to teach it called targeting.
Okay.
So, I rushed in from the bathroom. I got to remind her to talk to her about that. Okay, so you don't really get here, but somewhere around here, it all begins to come together.
Mm-hmm.
What you're talking to me about, Zifan, really that lovely thing that she's doing for your body, is your acting. See, what's missing in your acting was not characterization or how to get to a character. How do you know all that? What was missing was that the body was this furious force working against you.
Yeah.
And also the jumping ahead of yourself to how does it look? Mm-hmm. Instead of how do I feel inch by inch, cell by cell.
Well, you know what was interesting about the pictures, and I had to send the proof sheets with the delivery service this morning, was that I know he captured Ruth.
Good.
I don't like it.
Ah, that is interesting. You have to talk to Linda about that. Okay. I know what... See, once... okay, that's all right. You'll get that worked out.
Yeah,
you
that's
will.
Between...
Yes, it's between everybody.
But I like being the characters.
Uh-huh.
Just getting me being me.
Yeah.
And doing what I do, I thought,
I know. You know, there was a time...
Pretty. I mean, it's just... it's.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I do understand what you're saying. I want to say how I know it.
Then I realize I'll never work again.
Of course. Yeah, I was writing in the book.
That image of me, I'll never work. That's my image. I can't do it.
No, you can.
I'll never work.
You can. You're just in the throw. See, you're just becoming. You're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And as you become, all sorts of... It's like opening a Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
And every wild thought occurs to you. So... just like in the book.
Like, I'd be lucky if a guy ever thinks I'm beautiful.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
That's what I look like?
Yeah, exactly. Like. How could anybody like me? I'm such an awful person.
With the look-wise. Here I am thinking I'm going to be this leading lady. And I go, no, you're kind of character second, third lead.
Okay.
That's what I just wanted. That's another thing. Yeah.
See.
You'll see me now. You tell me the truth when I bring in this.
Oh, surely. But this is what it is in your acting also. See, your image of yourself is, I'm not a leading lady, but I'm, you know, a character person. Yeah, or even that is askew. And this is why. When you were working before, see, what you're doing is, you're like coming out of this cocoon, and coming out is hard. You know, it's hard to break through all that cotton batting. What you had before was an image of what a sexy lady had to be.
Mm.
And that image, you know, of hair thrown back or responding to the caress or, you know, giving in to the...
Mm.
I remember one audition we had where you had to do that. That image was what you thought was leading lady. See, this is why you're confused, and this is why I'm really kind of... Really, I think I cleared it up in my own mind, at least. You thought that that was leading lady.
Mm.
So you would, in your mind, you'd skip, just like of the loop, let us say, in your mind, you would skip from who you are, and there'd be a blank space on your loop, and then you would say, this is what a leading lady behaves like. This is what... And then what would happen is that you would get a terrible embarrassment, all personal, all inside of yourself, self-conscious, and the real knowledge, oh, I can't do this. What would happen is that you would then become flat-footed, you know, your jawline would sink down, you'd walk klutzy. I mean, you would almost do everything to make yourself, you didn't mean to, but some mechanism inside of you was triggered, and it then made you very unlovely, okay? Unsexy and unattractive. We've, you know, gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was there are several truths inside of us that we don't get activated. And what happened was when you thought of a leading lady that way, what happened was that was an image. There was a TV image of what you think an attractive person would. Something from the Vogue magazine, something from movies, which are all touched up and fake, you see. And what happened was that made you feel totally gross and inadequate because, but that wasn't real, you see. So what you're at the stage that you're at now is you are finding the real you. One, you're finding who you are physically. Two, you're coming to terms with who you are psychically through your work with Linda. Then three, I am helping from, you know, from helping with that funny neck behavior and that funny heavy jawline. I'm helping with bringing sensuality into the tongue, with bringing the sound of a word into the tongue. And what is that's doing is really connecting up. And because you're not totally connected, I mean, we have loads of work more to do, and so has Zifan, and so has Linda. See, because you're not, you haven't realized yet that the real you is very attractive. That's underneath somewhere. But emerging, it isn't yet emerged because the work isn't being isn't ready yet. So do you see that one day you will be able to say, this is who I am. This is the real me.
But then you're always acting kind of sort of out of that person.
No. Okay.
Which is also scary because I'm thinking that's...
Let me show you what you do about that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. But that's not really the answer. The first answer, you're on a quest, really. And this quest is taking you in many, many places. One, in an actual adventure. It took you to India and you went to a travel agency. That's one part of the quest, a travel agency, and you went on the toy train to Darjeeling, etc. That's one quest because India did a lot for you. Traveling did a lot for you. Then you're on the quest of finding what is my body really like. You haven't known what your body was like. Your body was your enemy. It didn't know you and you didn't know it. Okay. Your attitude, your acting attitude was also your enemy, and I had to fight it, a long time. Good. And so now we're bringing totally other concept of what acting is into the self. Then, of course, there was your past, your childhood, your dysfunctional family. Linda and you are working with, because that was the enemy. So that you've been working with all of these enemies in three different shapes. Now what we're doing is finding the real you. Now that comes first. Okay. Then there is a spot. This is the way I once sent a letter to High Performance Magazine. But somebody said, Reagan is such a liar, he might as well have taken acting courses or something. And I said, I wrote a letter saying, no, that's not so. You say that because you don't know what acting is. I said, there is a spot, and I drew a little box, a square, and I put a spot in there. I said, there is a square, and in the middle of that is a dot. And that dot is your essence, you see. And everything that your imagination can bring forth in terms of this character or this situation or that place. See, all of that has to be run through that essence, that spot. So the essence and what the imagination brings up also, the make-believe, become one, you see. So, and that's, I think you're understanding it now, so that's perfect. That's what happens. And once we understand that, we let it work for us. We filter it through our essence so we become it and it becomes us at the same time that we serve it. Now, I want to explain that. In the Crucible, do you remember Greg? Did you know
Nebraska.
Greg? Yeah, okay. Greg. Yeah. I see a smile on your face.
Not necessarily one of my favorite people.
Something, but anyway,
I ran into him the other day, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he's around trying for work out there. Greg played the poetic, sensitive minister.
The kind of roles he always plays.
Uh-huh. See,
even though he's really a jerk at heart.
Yes, he is. but I happened, you know, I was able to like him because I was.
Yeah.
When you get this old, you're beyond the fray, hopefully.
Yeah, well.
So, see, what Greg did was he's a smart boy, he understood the character, he understood the sensitivity, he understood the crisis in the man's life. But Greg comes from Chicago, and he comes from the streets of Chicago, and he brings with him a Chicago sound. His language, his speech is urban Chicago.
Yeah.
So he brings this into the... Mm-hmm. into this role of the minister, who is a Harvard-educated, sensitive, poetic, scholarly man. See, he did so that Greg was not serving the role.
No, he always does the same thing.
Exactly.
As wonderful as it is, but that's the one thing
that's
he has.
That's it. He doesn't have. So that when I say you and the character merge, I'm not saying that you speak the way Ruth speaks. You find a way to shape the vowel to fit the way the character would, but that vowel is on the blade of your tongue, right? And your breath has taken in all that your imagination has told you and your study of the script has told you. It's taken it in, it's passing it through your organs. Do you see how you and the character become one so that you pass it through your own physical self? How could it be more than you, right? But at the same time, you've metamorphosed into this countess, or this English noblewoman, or this shepherd girl, okay? That's the way it happens. See? Now, in your acting before, it couldn't happen that way, because you didn't know who you were anymore. Really, it was so mixed up. You just knew that you had a problem, right? Good. Two, you didn't know what your tongue, you didn't know where your tongue was, you didn't know what it felt like. Three, you began to bring breath into it. Four, your body didn't open up to receive the breath as it passes over the vital organs and brings up everything you've ever known, everything you've ever experienced, every emotion, brings it into the word, you see? And all of the imagination, you see how the imagination, the breath, the organs, the tongue, everything comes through, and you are that person, you are that character. That's so that what your, God, you're about one third, I mean, I wouldn't even say one half towards, you know, finding out who you are. You're one third. And the one third that you
still have to live to 105.
I know. I used to think so too. No, it's funny. When I was 50, I said, "I'll be an old lady before I learn this." You know, And then, sort of in a year, it's all yours. What you will find is the you that you really are, plus the techniques that you are garnering, really bring you to be a very attractive sexual person who would be attractive in your own role. You will find a soulmate, or as an actress taking on the qualities of whatever character, you will then be attractive to the male actors that you play with, and the audience will feel that integration and will be attracted to you.
Sifan was talking about that.
Oh, good.
She said, when people are in their bodies, you can tell, and so it makes you comfortable.
Exactly.
And she said it makes the audience comfortable. Yeah, it comes across on the screen.
It comes across that way, exactly. And this is why I've been very concerned about the sexy parts that you've played, because it was never in your body. Mm-hmm. You see, it was sort of in the mind, but it was in your mind that was filled with the fake images. Images, as I said before, the TV images and the magazine images and the People magazine images. See, so when your mind was filled with that, there was nothing there. And you weren't sexy. you are, as you sit here right now, really one third different mm-hmm. from what you were before. I really love this girl, Zifana. She's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. And tell me, where did she study? How does she know this?
She's from the streets of Ethiopia. Her mother died when she was 3.
Yeah.
In Ethiopia, the parents carry their children, the mothers carry their children on the back.
Yeah, for a long
time. She was kind of dumped to different orphanages, Catholic orphanages.
Oh, my
so
Lord.
So she learned to speak Italian. And so since she had spoken Ethiopian, then she forgot that. And then she spoke Italian. She never really got connected to language and emotion.
Yeah.
So her body was the only thing that she could explain. She was beaten all the time because she has such vitality, which is wrong, wrong, wrong.
Uh-huh.
And she is so sexy. I mean, I'm sorry. This woman just walks in, you go. she's tiny. It's in her. It's her vitality. She's just little buxom and little tiny waist and these little legs and it's just this face and everything she does is just, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, mm-hmm. she's just sexy and you just love her. I mean, she just want to go up and just stuff for her. She's a Buddhist girl.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting her 3 or 4 years ago when she ran up to give a little speech about something at one of our meetings. And I just thought, how cute, how darling, how sexy, how sweet. All this energy and just these gorgeous teeth and these just pools of brown liquid mm-hmm. eyes. I mean, you know, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The thing is that, so she was raised on the streets and then she ended up going to New York and met Martin and this other guy, Ollie Martin was at that time very wealthy, but he spent all his money since mm-hmm. then. So they took care of her because she's the kind of girl that you just do things for. So she needed help and inspiration about her acting. And so I was helping her, never knowing all the depth of Zifa, just knowing that I liked her. Well, she came to L.A. with another boyfriend, and but right away got top managers, got sent to all these, you know, what she said. All I have is my body. That's all she knows how to do.
She has no language.
So she started studying, and then the teacher said, you know, until you learn how to release your emotion, because she can't.
Yeah.
Emotionally express herself. It's just anger for a little girl.
Yeah.
She has the only two emotions that she can
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
But her body, and she was a nude model in New York forever. She did all kinds of other modeling, and she, you know,
well, she must have studied dance.
She studied dance and jazz and African dance back in New York. So I don't know the names of the teachers.
Yes, I see.
But she's mm-hmm. with Larry Moss here in L.A.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, he's supposed to be very good. I never heard of
him. You mean a dance or
no,
or
no, no.
An agent?
Acting teacher. Acting teacher.
I don't know.
So,
Yeah. Okay.
So, but it's quite interesting. I mean, her story.
Yes, that's a
story.
Indeed.
And she stole. She stole.
I understand that.
You know,
that's what one does when
you're
you have
on the,
to.
You're on the streets.
Yeah.
And people, you know, she learned things.
Yeah, so she's a survivor.
She's an amazing survivor, but, you know, she does it with such chutzpah. She said, you know, she used to always get on the subway in New York and never pay. So Martin did it one time and he got put in jail. She said he was in there for 2 or 3 days and he came out and he said, oh, Zifan, it was so wonderful. I met all these people, and this was this amazing experience. I mean,
he is really funny. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
That's Zifan.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to know her.
Yes, I'm sure that I will
someday. Yeah.
So do you see Ruth? And now I want to say one more thing about not liking myself. I sort of liking sometime a couple of years ago. My two of my former students who had become involved in film and documentary mm-hmm. wanted to do a documentary on me. She got the idea. And I was a little uncomfortable. And finally I remember saying to her, I'll talk into the camera. I said, but I don't really like me. I prefer the edited me,
mm-hmm.
see, not the real me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think that everyone has,
mm-hmm.
there are very few people, I'm sure, who say, yes, this is the me, you know. You know, you have that little funny thing of, at least when I write, I prefer the edited, you know, version of what I've written. I prefer when I can talk to myself and say, don't spill out the sides of your mouth, don't smile so hard, don't get so excited, don't raise your voice, you know, all of that, which I do and feel like an idiot, and I still feel like an idiot. Okay. Yeah. So I think that we all have that, and there are times when we really are our best selves. And I think your best self is about to come, is about to happen. And it's not anything, you won't know it. It'll just be that your body will respond to your sound, there will be vibrations, and you will respond as simply as possible to the other person. Then when you are acting, with your breath, you'll take in, and the guy reaches out, and let us say she surrenders. I think that was one thing I was saying. What you did when you surrendered was you jumped, or you went like this, and there was a big gap between responding, really, cell by cell. There was the gap. So it would be the breath. Did you feel how it moved right, inch by inch by inch by inch by inch? Yes. See, and that can be fast or slow, see, but the point is, it's got to be. So that in that, on your tape, when you're coming from a football, from the stands of a football game, and you go back to kiss him, there was, you know, the body was stiff. See, I want to do something and show how it can be done fast. I'm leaving. Did you feel it? That's it. So that there isn't, so that the teeth don't bang into each other. But that's out there for you. See, and that is what you're going to have. And it's beginning, like last week, we said, hello, hello, Joe. Joe, I love you. Did you feel it?
Yeah.
It's already beginning. And that was why. Because my tongue was sensual. Okay. So I want to talk to you about the tongue as we move into our lesson. I talked about, all of this stuff is fresh in my mind because I've been seeing it on the tapes. I said there was a student, not you, another student, whose tongue was just like this, you know, so that it couldn't express anything for her. But she had a cat, which she loved. And when she petted her cat, her hand moved across the cat's body so lovingly and so sensually, so the hand could do like this, the way you pet a cat, or the way you touch your cockatoo. I don't know if you can do this to your cockatoo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can like that.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
the tenderness is all in the hand. It's the same thing in the tongue. See, the tongue and the hand are exactly alike. They both are extensions of the mind, you know, and of sensuality, so that as her hand just formed itself to embrace the shape of the cat, see, so your tongue forms itself in whatever, remember eating the banana, in whatever way it does to form the shape of the words that are filled with your thoughts, okay? So it's, oh, Joe, oh, don't go, darling. I love you. I want you to stay with me. Did you see what my tongue is doing to that word? So that's what our acting... See, so that if you say, oh, well, we're not working on acting, I'm working on... Baloney! You're working on acting. And
you got my message about Elliot. Did I say Weston or Easton?
Weston.
It's Easton.
It's Easton.
Dale Weston recommended me to the other agents, and Elliot Easton.
Oh, how funny.
You know, it was very funny because I didn't want to call you back and say, did I say Weston or Easton?
That is funny. No, you said, but I'm delighted. And if he does call, that will be lovely. And he's on tour.
He's a bit of a... I don't know. He's a bit of... I don't know. You'll like... I mean, he'll probably call because he follows me. He's the one who met me once and then called Cunningham and said, I'm a friend of Ruth DeSosa's.
No, I didn't know that. Uh-huh.
And then he's followed me to Cunningham and then he found out who my other agent was.
Uh-huh.
And
so
then
he likes what it is you're
Nancy
doing.
Rainford. And then I talked about you about two years ago to him and he asked me if I was still with you and I said yes. And so he was saying some of the same things I had said to him 2 years ago about how he liked to act. From what he remembered I had said. I didn't say anything. Do you know what I'm saying? They told him a little bit about how the
the process of whatever it is.
So when we were talking about acting, he goes, "Well, you know, I always see it this way," and kind of that you little. But he wants to come and study. He said,
"We'll see." Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Just so you know,
but he's quite a character. But he usually does tend to follow me around.
Good. Well, we'll.
But he admits
it, fun.
Uh-huh. And he's got kind of a chutzpah about it, so you kind of let him get away with it.
Oh, I'll be careful.
I think if he stays.
I'm beginning to understand.
I said, "Elliot, are you asking me out?" He goes, "Well, yeah. I mean, if you don't want to go, we can go for coffee." I said, "Well, let's try coffee first after all these years."
Yeah.
He used to date Diane White's daughter. I think kind of sort of in the hopes of possibly working there, which he never did.
Uh-huh.
Bit of a... But you know, he does it with such charm and kind of openness about it that you kind of like him and you help him. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So you'll enjoy him.
Yeah, and we both always know that there are actors out there who some stay. If you stay past a certain time with me, you'll stay. And then there are some who just couple of, you know, I don't know what she's getting at. You know, let me out of here. Yeah. That kind
but
of thing.
But you'll enjoy him.
I think. We'll see.
Or you'll enjoy the repartee with him.
So all right. So what we're doing is really putting our finger on what it is you need as an actress. Mm-hmm. Good, right now. Now, I wanted to talk about targeting. And I thought, well, I'm going to really turn on this thing in case I figure out what I mean by targeting. It's when you saw the Oscars and, you know, Jack Palance getting down on this with this one hand up thing. On the Thursday of that week, I happened to watch Prime Time, and they did a whole section on what push-ups are all about. Isn't that funny? And based on really what Jack Palance had done that night. Although I finally found the word tasteless. I thought Jack was tasteless, not in the push-ups, but in the way he spoke.
Yeah.
But the younger generation thought he was funny, apparently. But anyway, he certainly made...
No, it was borderline. It was a little too borderline.
I thought so.
Pathetic. And he came in saying, "Did you see him, Kim? Had a shot!"
Yeah.
You're thinking, what, a B12 shot or a shot of whiskey?
Yeah.
12 shots of...
I think so, too.
He came in that way, and it was a bit...
Yeah.
It was a bit... Yeah.
Tasteless.
I agree.
There's a good word for it. I really felt... uneasy.
And then I'm crap bigger than him, or whatever he ended up saying was really wrong.
The witch?
He crapped bigger than Billy Crystal.
Oh, I didn't. Was that at the end of the thing where he didn't have a tie on, his collar was open? I really thought it was... not. I didn't hear that, but it was not right. I was glad I wasn't the woman sitting beside him, you know, his date that night, you know, that guy, because I would have squirmed. And I wondered who she was, by the way. I didn't know whether... He wears a wedding...
I never really saw him with anybody.
Well...
Maybe his daughter? Was it his daughter?
He has two daughters.
I think he might have come with his daughter.
Might have been a daughter, but... Well, I don't know. Anyway, I was kind of curious to sort of see who he was with, because he had been my boyfriend when we were younger, so...
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Was he the same way as he is now?
He wasn't quite as cynical. He has a healthy cynicism about the industry, which is interesting, I think. And he seems to be very smart business-wise. But he was just sort of feeling that and kept kind of playing it close to the vest. But anyway, but that's why, you know, frankly, I was like, married again, you know, that kind of thing. On Prime Time, what they had, they showed a person doing push-ups like this, and then they really discussed what it meant to do push-ups on one hand, and it's a very complicated procedure where the balance, is like this kind of a triangle of balance. So that was very interesting. Now, what I do sometimes is somewhat like that balance, when I'm acting and I need help from my words and help from the placement. So in a sense, in my mind now, I really see the words right here is almost like the hand out there, all right? That one hand out there. So that's almost the tip of the balance. And then I should imagine it goes like that, okay? Sometimes when I'm acting and I have an emotion that really wants to pull me back down into the body. See, what we want is the emotions to come up through the body, through the word out to the audience.
So when you're just feeling it down here, it's not coming out.
Sometimes, exactly. So, see, and what happens is that in my imagination or my insight or my seeing eye in the back, I sort of target the words on the tip of my tongue. I kind of see that, you see, as one would see the hand out in front of the body, so that it's as though my inner eyes are not interfering with my emotion, but they're just kind of guiding the overt sounds that I make. They're guiding the words to stay in front while I have these deep, complicated feelings underneath. Mm-hmm. All right? So it's a sense of inner sight, right? Having a sighting. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I can find an example. Let's say that the woman is very sick. I don't know how this will work. Let's say that I'm very sick, and I'm in the hospital, and I'm dying, but I see my lover, you know, I imagine he's dead, and I imagine him in the doorway. It would be John, come. See, my beneficent eye, my wisdom eye, my loving eye, right? That is putting itself out at the word. Did you see how clear that was? But did you see how intimate I was feeling that? Come, we'll go together at last, you know. Mm-hmm. Corny writing, but did you see? That's what I'm talking about. So I think the word target.
And where do you put the eye?
Oh,
the
eye is the eye that we work from really all the time.
So you don't, okay, so that stays inside and you just target.
Yeah. It's something, it's just on the inside, see? But it really, now you put your eye here, Ruth. That must be the Buddhist eye, right? For some reason, I would like you to put your acting eye. It's the same eye, really. But like the Buddhists have their temple there, and I have my temple here. I move on the inside of my being to two places on either side of the spine, you see. And I don't know whether I'm correct, or maybe the wisdom part of the diencephalon, the ancient part of the brain, is right back connected to that spine. Or I remember...
Actually, I also read in another book that your lower back chakra carries all your past life memory. Whether or not that's true might be interesting. I was going to tell you if that actually would come up to you.
Yes, you see,
I don't know if that's true. I just
exactly, but
that.
One can imagine it. See, one doesn't have to... When I write stuff about, you know, maybe the eye belongs back here in the book, I say, I don't really know. I really put this in. This is what I do when I work. I don't know, but it helps me. And if it helps me, it means there's something going on that is useful, okay? So what I would like for you is to, when, for example, when you watch yourself in an exercise too much, and then you go, how did I do? No, I want to go into...
A commercial audition the other day, and the guys were laughing because the tape was still running, because I did this very sweet little Carnation commercial. I finished it, and then I turned to the guys and said, so, how was it? And they were in hysterics. You know, you have this sweet little mommy, and I go,
funny.
You know, that way or a different way? Or what'd you think? Or something. I said, so what'd you think? Or whatever.
Yeah,
they were laughing. It was very funny. They left it on the tape. I go, will you please erase that? He said, no, we're leaving it.
Good.
I got a call back.
Good. Yeah.
It's a big one. And I find out Monday if I got it or not.
Well, I hope you get it.
Just before I went in, I ran into Greg Rudrowski.
Oh.
He's like the last person in the world I want to see.
Yeah.
Ever again in my life. Because he is kind of a jerk where women are concerned, and I kind of knew better, but I really am quite embarrassed about it. And it's one of the things, when you're going into a callback, there was a girl ahead of me, so I thought, and Greg came in, and so I was a bit shaken, because I don't like, I don't want to be reminded by my past.
Yeah.
I'm doing so well, Beatrice.
Yes.
I really am. It's like, don't bring my shit in
yeah.
the door. And what in the fuck is he doing at a goddamn fucking commercial audition? He's a theater actor, and he never does commercials. Hi, Ruby. I just kind of tried to ignore him, but he was bound and determined to talk to me. I called him in, not the other girl. I said, oh, I thought Ariana was ahead of me. He said, oh, we're going in, not in the order of signing, we're going in on our sheet in there.
Uh-huh.
So I was shaking.
Yeah.
Because I was angry that I had to be reminded of my life.
Yeah.
So they wanted to see my hands, and I'm there like this.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, fuck Greg Rudrowski, he's not ruining my callback.
You bet.
So I pulled it back together, so it's very funny that you bring him up this morning.
Yes, that is funny.
Leave him out of my life!
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring him in. That is funny, isn't it?
I went to my photo shoot and I was crying because I thought, how am I going to be sexy and be beautiful and all this stuff when I ran into Greg and I have all my past facing me and all this kind of embarrassing stuff that had happened. And I just burst into tears.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Martin came in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're crying. That's good.
Oh, well. Good.
So that's the whole long story of that.
Yeah. Let me think.
So the eyes are back here.
Yeah. Let's put the eyes back here. So that when you do an exercise, blah, 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 the eyes back here know what your emotions are. They know literally how your breath is moving. They know of the tongue. And those eyes are benevolent. See, they guide you. They're wise, but they never interfere with what you're doing. When you watch it from these eyes, see, from your eye socket eyes, those eyes are your social eyes. Will I do well? Will I get the call back? What does so-and-so think of me? Okay. We don't want to work from those eyes. Okay, we want those eyes to just guide us through the room. We want those eyes to see what time your acting lesson is, etc. So the eye, let's say that the eyes in the back of the head, without interfering in your emotion, in your passion, they kind of guide, it's like a train. Is really moving. I'm the train and I'm really chugging along.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a guide inside that keeps the thought right on the words. So the words stay in front, mostly when you need them. So you use, I mean, that pops into your activity when you feel that the words are slipping back. And so they're just this lightest little targeting
mm-hmm.
of the thing. I think that's a very important part of the lesson. And I think I found the word target, and that's what said, now I know how I want to
mm-hmm.
say this. Okay, let's take, just really, we want to go through the process. You want to breathe out, let it go in, breathe out, let it go in. Yeah, really feel it, and let the eyes on the inside begin to see. Okay, the more you use them, the more they will see for you. And these are a little bit as if you're dim-sighted. You don't really see that well, but you see clear as a bell from inside, right? And then go into your blah, 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 feeling it on the blade of the tongue, letting the tongue take whatever shape it takes. The important thing is that it's got to move. It's got to take a shape. Don't you decide what shape it should take, all right? And then, blah, 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 the ship sailed into, etc. Do a little pattern of that. I don't know that we'll have time to go beyond that, but if we do, we'll begin to take a phrase, let it stay on the tongue, and then we'll move that phrase out to action. And to see that the words still stay on the tongue while we're very, very angry. Very angry with you. Did you see how I didn't press? Mm-hmm. But I was very angry. It mm-hmm. was able to reveal mm-hmm. my anger. I'm not angry with you anymore. Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. See, it again, and the tongue must, as it changes from eating a banana to eating an apple to licking an ice cream cone, so the tongue changes for the different emotions mm-hmm. that you feel. Mm-hmm. Good, Ruth. Give with the, and put two pillows if you want support, and just cuddle up. Cuddle up and do it. Okay. Good.
So, blah, 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 2 inches, right?
Yeah, okay. 2 inches. First, breathe. Feel good. When you feel good, go to the next one.
Okay, and the other thing, I need to learn how to bring the emotions up, because I think I can keep them here. Uh-huh. I can't bring them up.
That's right. Well, that will come as we really learn how to move the breath to the word, and then we will allow it. And that will also come when Zifan frees you muscularly inside, which is a lot like this, and it's going to get soft and allowing. Mm. All right? Good. So don't worry about that. Okay. It's part of, it's on the way.
God. Okay. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, don't do them so long.
Blah 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 blah. The ship sailed into the Mediterranean. The passengers were very rich. A world cruise.
That's okay.
The passengers were very rich.
Okay. You're doing fine. Really you are. Ruth, I'm going to add something now. I think, remember last week, which I meant to bring into this lesson too, we worked on the back of the neck.
That's better.
Good.
Yes.
Just that sense of it floating up. Instead of all the vertebrae sitting on each other, just kind of, they float up away from each other. And remember we talked about your jawline, how it pressed itself down. Excuse me, I want to cry. I really get these little coughing things, and I'm kind of out of business for a minute. It happened again this morning. I know, on the tape it happened. Your jawline pressed down, so we want both to float up. Now what I saw when you did it was that right in the throat, it wasn't the jawline so much, or the back of the neck, but right in the throat, I felt a compression. It was as though the soft part, let's say all the soft stuff is here. As you did it, this is my throat, like that. The ship sailed into, do you feel the throat? That's happening. What I would like you to do is target. That's where what the lesson was about. I knew I had some reason for teaching you that. Target that, leaving this alone. All right? So breathe and then see if you can target.
The ship sailed into the Mediterranean.
Enough. Yeah. Good. That was the idea. But I'm guessing now, but I think that you wanted it too much. You know, on the one hand, don't want it at all, right? On the other hand, target it so that you get it. So you think, oh, you're going to drive me crazy. Yes, everybody goes crazy learning that, but there is a way to learn it. Okay. And I believe that the inner eyes targeting the technique, see, targeting the lesson, allows you to not even have to want it so much. That's why this idea is very important. Really, I didn't know it until just now. I could feel, although I'm probably guessing right, I could feel that the thought pushed the throat, the soft part under the jawline, compressed it.
Oh, it did?
Yes, I felt it was even in the thought. Did you say yes?
I said no, you? I thought it was better than the other time.
Yes, it was.
It was
better.
But it was still doing the same thing.
No. It was, see, you cannot press too hard. You know how we said you can't hold with your white so that the knuckles are white. You can't press too hard on the tongue. You can't speak too hard. You can't blah, blah, blah. Neither can you think too hard, okay? Your thought has to be a light message sent to that place on the body. So what I think happened was, I laugh because I was going to say ego and greed, you know, but I mean, I have this all about myself too. I mean, how do I know all this? Because my ego and my greed, I finally had to learn that I couldn't even want it that hard. So this is very delicate, and I'm sure it's very Buddhist to want but not want it that hard.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're talking about. I think that wanting to make that correction and not wanting to press down, because one, it's, you feel how uncomfortable it is, and you know that it doesn't look beautiful, etc. As you began the correction, you wanted it too much. What I'm going to do is let a breath that holds the thought lightly of making a change come into my body, and my ego is going to kind of be light. It's not going to press in there. So mine would be, if I'm targeting the ship sail, it would be, the ship sailed into the Mediterranean. Did you see nothing move, but you couldn't feel my eagerness in my throat. That's what you have to learn to do. Try that once again, letting the breath sweep. It's as though the breath sweeps the ego out of the body. That's right, I'm checking the time.
The ship sailed into the Mediterranean.
But you've got the idea. See, you've got the idea. You did the first part of it properly. Could you feel the difference, Ruth?
Yeah, but I didn't. My words were wrong.
Oh, no, I didn't care about the words. What I care... No, this is what... I care about the initial response this time.
Yeah.
Your initial response was right. You really overcame desire. And yet we're doing this because we would desire it. But you overcame excessive desire. You overcame wanting it too much, and you knew how to do it through the breath. It was as the breath lightened or fluffed it up or kind of floated the excess away, and what remained was the thing itself. That was good
work.
Then when the words...
I like that.
That was very nice.
No, but I mean the way you just said the excess and what remains is the thing itself.
Good. Okay. So that's what we want. All right. That was nice. And then, well, a new thing always makes us self-conscious, or it suddenly is, oh, wow, you know, what happened? And so the words, who cared? The important thing was that initial response was beautiful. Let's do that again, and this time I'm going to do. Wait, Ruth. I'm going to do it first, and then I want you to just pick it up for me, so that it's not too self-conscious. Mine will go smoothly from my breath giving me a balanced desire into the words that I'm going to target. The ship sailed.
Okay.
The ship sailed into the Mediterranean. That was really nice. Did you feel the whole thing was smooth?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Just imitate that.
The ship sailed into the Mediterranean.
That's almost it.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost it. Good. So we know what this is now.
Mm-hmm.
We could feel it compressing even through a thought. And we just let, do you see me filling up with breath? And it floats up again. And in time, the floating up will stay with me much more than the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this business of the words jumping to the back, I could feel it in my own body from you. They were right at my molars. I'm teaching speech. I don't know how to pronounce molars.
I think it's molars.
Molars, yeah. Okay. I think what's happening is that we've got to do the patterns. I've got to drill you in the patterns because you're not well acquainted with them enough. They're not like second nature.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's... for the ending of our lesson, let's take a pattern. And each time now, we're going to start tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to go straight to the patterns.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done that. And by jumping past that, what's happening is your speech is going way back
mm-hmm.
into the back, and it's hovering over the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the ending of the exercise is denied us
mm-hmm.
because we haven't practiced enough.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So let's say, let's start with P.S. Ship sailed. So we'll take the P of ship and the S. It would be P.S.
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 Psa,
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 so,
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 so.
Okay, as in could.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another one. The ship sailed into, and.